Welcome to Ask the Pastor. The question today is, what does it mean to worship? What does it mean to worship? We talked about that yesterday, so this is part two today. I'll just kind of say very little about what I said yesterday and try to pick up in the midst of that message, if you please. But we do know that man was made in the image of God, and when God formed him, then anything handmade is worth a whole lot more than what is put out by manufacturing, such as furniture and whatnot. So God formed man. He made man. He made him a spirit, soul, and body. The body has contact with others. The soul has contact with self. The spirit has contact with God. And the spirit has the capacity to know God, fellowship with him, commune with him, and walk with him. And when Adam ate of the tree, he died like God had said. What part of Adam died? His body lived 930 years, and his soul lived forever. But his spirit died. Ephesians 2:1 speaks of quickened body. Oh, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Means as a resurrection takes place, not the body when you're saved, but not the body, but not the soul, but the spirit. Because the spirit died in Adam, and we're all born with a dead spirit. Therefore, the spirit has to be awakened, has to be quickened to respond to God. Now remember, the body responds to five senses. The soul responds to emotion, reason, understanding, and logic. The spirit responds to God. The spirit of man says, I don't have to touch, to taste. I don't even have to understand it. But if God said it, the spirit says, and as if God said it, that settles it. The spirit just responds to truth. Now worship. Worship is a word which comes from a Greek word, which proskuneo, I don't know if that's correct pronunciation of that, but it's almost self-explanatory. It means to lower yourself, to bow down, to get down. It means submission, to bow. Now, before the maniac of Gadara was saved, he was awakened, and he worshiped God even with all those demons in him. How he did, I don't know, but he did. The Bible said he bowed. He submitted to the Lord that day on the seacoast of Galilee. Lydia was awakened, and she worshiped even before she was saved. The body says, I want to feel something. The soul says, I want to understand something, understand it. Spirit says, if God said it, I'll just bow to it. I'll bend to that. I'll submit to that. In your spirit, you bow. You submit to the truth if you worship. The first time worship's used in Genesis 22:5, Abraham was in submission to God. He offered Isaac as he was told to do so. Genesis 22:5, he said there in Genesis chapter 22, verse number 5, he made a statement that God told him to go and worship and give his son on the altar. In other words, he said to in Genesis 22:5, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. In other words, Abraham was in submission to God. He offered Isaac as he told him to. And Abraham described that worship. What was he doing? He was not running the aisle, and that's okay. I'm not against that if God's in it. He was not shouting. I'm not against that. He was not weeping. I'm not against that if God's in it. He was bowing. He bowed. Submission. God said it, and he submitted. That's a requirement of worship, is submission to God. Then there's a reflection of worship. We bear the image of whatever we worship. Everybody worships something. Why does Nike pay Michael Jordan millions of dollars to put his name on their shoes? It's because many worship Michael Jordan and want to wear his shoes like he wears, the shoes he wears. Why do companies pay athletes to have their picture on a cereal box? Because many worship those athletes and want to eat what champions eat. We bear the image of what we worship. And what was Abraham doing when he offered his son? Genesis 22:2, he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I'll tell thee of. You see, from that verse, we get the idea Abraham only had one son. But in reality, he had two sons. Isaac was offered on Moriah, which is Calvary, and when he came to Calvary, there's no mention of Ishmael. Fault, in other words, fault of the flesh. Ishmael was a fault of the flesh. No mention of him. Your family may remind you of your Ishmaels, but when you get to Calvary, there'll be no mention of the faults of the flesh. Though Abraham worshiped, he bore the image of God in that he was giving his son, his only son. So therefore, there is that reflection of worship. Now there's a revelation of worship. First of all, there's that submission we talked about as we see that at first, and then the the revelation of it we're going to look at now. In John 8, there was a group who said they believed on Jesus, yet they rejected him. In essence, they said, we have Abraham and don't need you. But Jesus said to them, John 8:39, he said, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. Then he finally later said, you're of your father the devil. John 8:44, you're of your father the devil. Then in the same discourse, Jesus said in John 8:58, he said in that same group, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. See, Abraham was, but the Lord Jesus is the I am. In all eternity, he is the I am. He's never I was. He was just as much God as he ever was, the great I am. John 8:56 said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now, how did he see his day? Well, hundreds of years before, that's when he saw it. Now, how did he do it? By faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 17 through 19, he said, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So we see Abraham expected to take Isaac's life, and then he expected God to step in and raise Isaac from the dead. Abraham knew God was faithful to do what he said. Abraham was ready to take Isaac's life. The knife was raised, and God said, Abraham, and he and Abraham immediately stopped. He was very sensitive to the voice of God, and he saw the ram caught in the thicket. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 18, he said, for the wickedness burneth as the fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Thickness consists of thorns around his head, Jesus. Abraham around the head of that ram, and Jesus as well. Abraham picked up the ram and set Isaac free. Genesis 22:13 says this. He said, and Abraham lifted up his eyes, and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. That means in his place, in the place of his son. Thank God for that. Now, Abraham received Isaac in a figure, a type, a shadow, a picture, a reflection of substance. Abraham saw God's lamb dying that he might go free. Abraham worship brought him into the presence of Jesus. He experienced the presence of Jesus before the shepherds did in Luke 2. He did. How did he do it? He bowed. He submitted through his worship. Worship is not about a place. Worship's not about a mountain. Worship's not about a temple, but must be in the spirit, awakened and quickened and in truth. If you ever get in his presence, you want to get back again and again. You'll want to bow in truth. Verse 24, the woman at the well, Jesus told her, you worship ignorantly, as he talked. We worship intelligently, but a lot of people worship in a different way. But still, he said, the time cometh, the hour cometh. He said, you worship, you know not what, verse 22, and we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, capital S, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, a little s, and truth. Not only in truth, but in spirit. My spirit that has been awakened or quickened to life needs to bow to submit before a holy, holy God. May God help us to see. What does it mean to worship? I'll tell you, we've got wrong ideas many times. We've got preconceived ideas about worship and about the Lord. And people say, well, if you're not shouting, hooping, and hollering, and running aisles, and jumping pews, swinging from the chandelier, you're not worshiping. I want to tell you what, you do what God moves on your heart. If it's of God, it'll be all right, as long as it's in your spirit that's been quickened, that's been awakened. And after you're saved, it's been very much alive, where you can worship God in your spirit, in your part of you, in your inner being. And because he lives on the inside, the Lord does, and in spirit of truth does. And so you worship in spirit, but you worship him in truth. And so if a person Whatever he does, doesn't matter. It's all right to raise your hands in the congregation. The Bible said do that. That's part of worship. All right to praise him, to give thanks to his name, whatever. But listen, when you do that, you need to realize that the requirement of worship is a submission, bowing before a holy God and submission to him. And it'll cause you to worship him. There'll be that reflection of that worship, and then there'll be that revelation of that worship, just as we talked about. But you see, it'll be in truth, not only in your spirit, but it'll be in truth. So any worship that people call it worship, if it doesn't have the truth of God in it, there's no worship in it. It's not real, true, genuine worship. It's false worship. And that God's not pleased with that. Ye worship, you know not what when you do that. May God help us to get hold of the truth. You see, truth is necessary to be saved. The Bible says he's nigh to all them that call on him in truth. Psalms 145:18, I believe it is. In other words, if you don't have truth, you can't call on him that you might be saved. And for you to call on him to be saved, it takes a work of God in your heart. And that birth experience will bring you to the place where you'll kiss toward the Son. You'll worship him in your spirit, and it'll be in truth. And there'll be a balance. But if you just got truth, it's orthodoxy. And if you've just got a spirit, it's usually a demon spirit, and brings fanaticism, wrong spirit. You see, because your spirit's dead if you're not saved. Thank God when awakened, God lets you worship him. Bow before him. That's the requirement, is submission. Oh, if you're not subject to the Lord Jesus, you're not worshiping him. And you see, if you're in a spirit of rebellion, you're not worshiping him. It's submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in the day of rebellion, and that's what controls us. But oh, God help us just to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of our life. And in our spirit that's been stirred, even if we're not saved, we can bow before a holy God and worship him like the maniac of Gadara, like Lydia did before she was even saved. But oh, how much better it be after that you're saved and alive. Spirit live forevermore. Soul live forevermore. And then one day, the Lord take us home. Spirit, soul, and body completely. May we worship him in spirit and in truth. So the question, what does it mean to worship? It means to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, with the light I have on the subject at the present time, that's what I wanted to tell you about that subject. What does it mean to worship? We may not have all the light, won't have all the light, but thank God for what little light we've got. And today, with the light we have, worship basically, first of all, is submission to a holy God in your spirit and in truth. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.